We're on Daf Tzadites Amid Beis, and we're up to Omar Rav Miyosha. And the only thing I know about this Rav Miyosha is that he's a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. And this you'll see approximately one third down from the top of Tzadites Amid Beis. Boy, Rabbi Yochanan. So now we're really getting into some of the heavy issues about Meleches Zrika. Kosel Bershus Rabim. So you have now a divider between Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYochid. And if you recall, we had a long discussion about the case where you throw something up and it ends down after it curves, you know, it hits its pinnacle, its zenith, and then it curves downwards and lands on a Rishus HaYochid, and it goes above the 10 Tfachim area space of Rishus HaRabim, therefore it enters into a Makom Patur. And the question was whether or not that's a valid, whether he's Chayav Chatos. Here also, we have a kind of similar idea. Because what's happening is that this Kosel, if it has the height of 10 tfachim, it now serves as a mechitza. And let's assume that there's not just one kosel, let's assume there are four walls that surround an area. That area is Rishus HaYochid. So clearly if he stands in Rishus HaRabim and he throws something over the wall and it lands in Rishus HaYochid, for sure he's Chayav. But in this case, he threw something that landed on the top of the wall. Now the wall is not four tefachim wide. If the wall was four tefachim wide, then it itself would be Rishus HaYochid. It's got the two requirements, the dimensions. It's got the, you know, on the one hand it has the height of 10 tefachim, and on the other hand it has the width of 4 tefachim. But we're talking about a case where this wall, although it serves as a mechitza to circumscribe an area of Rishus HaYochid, but nevertheless in and of itself it does not have the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. So when the object is thrown from Rishus HaRabim, it lands on top of the kosel, how do we view the kosel itself? Intuitively, you and I would have said, well, the kosel is a makom patur, because anything that protrudes 10 tvachim and doesn't have the width of 4 tvachim is by definition a makom patur. And therefore, there's no way, no how that he should be chayev for being oker a chayfetz in Rishus HaRabim and be meniachid in a makom patur. But the flip side is, and this is what boggles our mind, is that kosel is part of the Rishus HaYochid. We shouldn't view it as a separate entity, which, as we said, is a makom patur, but rather as part and parcel of the Rishus HaYochid. In fact, this kosel generates a Rishus HaYochid. And therefore, basically, when he throws it on top of the kosel, he has thrown it, and the hanocha was in Rishus HaYochid. So, boy, Rabbi Yochanan, kosel b'shus harabim, v'gavah asara, v'yeno rochav arba tfachim, u'mukaf l'karmelis. Okay, now, there's a lot of complicated things going on here, and Rashi complicates things even more, but what we're saying now is that this area, which is surrounded by this kosel together with the other three, becomes a Rishus HaYochid by virtue of the kosel. And for some reason, I'm not telling you why, because I don't know why exactly, Rabbi Yochanan insists that if not for the Kosel, the area would have been a Carmelis. And that's called Mukaf LeCarmelis. So you have an area that's separate from Rosh HaSarabim. It's a Carmelis, which means on a Doraisa level, it does not have the status of neither Rosh HaSarab nor Rosh HaSayochid. And he now sets up a Kosel around this area, making it into a Rosh HaSayochid. I don't know why Rabbi Yochanan had to point out that this area was a Carmelis. Vaso Rosh HaSayochid, so this Kosel itself makes the area on the other side of the Kosel that's surrounded a Rosh HaSayochid. Vizarek v'nochal gaba. Mahu. So what's the suffix of Rabbi Yochanan? Mi amrinan, should we say? Kevon di eno rochav arba. Makom pturhu. If we isolate the Kosel and define it as an independent structure, its status is that of a makom ptur. Makom ptur is any area that rises from the ground of Rosh HaSarabim above 10 tefachim, and it's not 4 tefachim wide. And therefore he should be potter. Oh, Dilma, what's it sad for Rabbi Yochanan? This is already not intuitive. To say that he's chayav is kevan diaso. This kosel made this area, which was a Carmelis, into Rosh HaSayochid. Which means that all the space that is included in the Hekef Mechitzos is a Rosh HaSayochid. Is keman de mole domya. We should consider it as if it's mole. Right? This is something that we had about Rosh HaSayochid Makura. You remember through a house, it's considered keman de mole domya. And basically, what the Gemara is saying here, according to Rabbi Yochanan's second side, is that the top of the Kosel is an integral part of Rosh HaSayochid. Now, the Rosh HaSayochid itself has arba al arba tefachim. And the Rosh HaKosel, if it's considered part of the Rosh HaSayochid, because it makes the Rosh HaSayochid into Rosh HaSayochid, therefore should have the same status as the Rosh HaSayochid itself, which has Arba Tefachim. So even though the Rosh HaKosel doesn't have Arba Tefachim, he should be Chayef Otso when it lands on the Rosh HaKosel, because the Kosel itself is part of the Rosh HaSayochid. It is the creator or the generator of Rosh HaSayochid. And in that case, we shouldn't view it as a separate entity unto itself, a Makom Ptur, but rather it should be viewed as part and parcel of the Rosh HaSayochid. Okay, now, Rashi points out here, which is very difficult, that this area before he sets up the Kosel would have been a Carmelis that was not Hukaf Lidira. In other words, as a result of this Kosel that surrounds the Carmelis, it adds an element of Hukaf Lidira. Now this has to do with Sugyas and Masechta Erevin about Besos Sayim, which I think is 70 Amos square. In any event, if you have an area that's very, very large, a wide spanse, then although it is technically, or shall we say, according to biblical law, it is a Rosh HaSayochid, but nevertheless, it's an area that's not usually hukaf ledira. And people don't live in those large areas. You know, those large areas are very good for parks, and I don't know what else you do there, but in any event, Rabbi Kivager has a problem here because Rashi is introducing elements here that are derabbanan. You know, hukaf ledira and lo hukaf ledira, these are all concepts that derabbanan instituted gzeros, right? So it's not hukaf ledira, and it's yosemi beis asayim. The rabbanon made gzera that it's not considered Rosh HaSayochid. I mean, those elements here are not lechora relevant to our sugya. I mean, our sugya of Rabbi Yochanan, he's vacillating whether you're chayev chatos here, you know, for a violation of Aleches Otzah d'Oraisa. And if this kosel creates a Rishus HaYochid out of a karmelis, I don't have to ask myself the question, well, is it hukaf ledira? And if it's not hukaf ledira, and it's a base, you know, a base osayim, it's such a large area, the Rabbanim made gzeira, and you can't carry there, so it's not really Rishus HaYochid. What are you talking about? As far as chatos is concerned, it's a Rishus HaYochid. This kosel is 10 tefachim high. Who cares what the area and the spans of the area is? Who cares whether it's residential or not residential? All that discussion is irrelevant to Rabbi Yochanan's suffix over here. So if you take a look at Rashi Dimaskal Karmelis, which is about, halfway down the Amud, he says, Kosel zeh hikifu hekefo hikifo bika, he surrounds a bika, shahoysa karmelis, al yado, through this kosel, he creates a rishus hayochid, and then he writes, kagon shahukav lidira. In other words, Rashi wants to know, are you allowed to carry in this area that is now being surrounded and enclosed by a kosel, by a machitza? And Rashi says, well, I'll give you one of two scenarios. Either it was hukaf ledira, in other words, it's a very, very large area, but nevertheless it was designated for, you know, for residential purposes. Maybe he's going to make a number of apartments there or so. Or alternatively, even if it wasn't hukaf ledira, it's einbo ela beis osayim, right? It's not more than a beis osayim, so it's not such a large area. And therefore, the Rabbanan's gzera would not apply to this so-called Rishus HaYochid. And as I said before, you know, Rabbi Kivega has a very difficult time with this Rashi, because these elements here are totally foreign to Rabbi Yochanan's question, totally irrelevant. But we are. Stuck a little bit about why Rabbi Yochanan, when he presented this, you know, this suffix, why he mentioned karmelis, right? It says mukaf le karmelis. I mean, why does he have to mention that this kosel is surrounding an area like a bika, which is a karmelis? I mean, that's irrelevant. So that remains an outstanding question here. But again, let's get back to the lumdus here, the main kishkis of Rabbi Yochanan's question here. Rabbi Yochanan wants to know whether or not the kosel itself now has the status of Rishus HaYochid. On the one hand, if we view the kosel in and of itself, it's a classic makom ptur. It's got 10 tefachim height, less than 4 tefachim width. That's a makom ptur, and for sure he's not chayev if it lands from Rishus HaRambam lands onto this makom ptur, onto this kosel. But on the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan thinks that maybe he should be chayev because the kosel itself is part and parcel of the Rishus HaYochid. Now what's going to happen is that Ula is going to analyze Rabbi Yochanan's question. He's going to come up with a Kal V'Chomer, and based on this Kal V'Chomer, he's going to be Machria, he's going to come to a definite conclusion. And then, to our surprise, Rabbi Yochanan himself is going to be quoted as coming up with the same Kal V'Chomer, which means that Rabbi Yochanan initially had a Suffolk, but at the end, he had a Achra, he decided how to be Poshek the Suffolk. Omar Ula, I'm going to teach you that the Rosh HaKosel is considered Rishus HaYochid. But Kal V'Chomer, I'm going to derive it from a Kal V'Chomer. Im le'acherim osa mechitza li'atzmo lo kolshke. If this Kosel has the power to generate a shame mechitza, which changes and transforms the area from in this case, a karmelis into a Rishus HaYochid, so it means it's serving as a mechitza for the area that is enclosed by this machitza is liatzmo. It shouldn't be considered as part of that area in and of itself. In other words, the shame and the status of Rishus HaYochid is generated by this kosel. So the kosel is not part of the Rishus HaYochid. That doesn't make any sense. Now, before we see Tosis Divrei Maskil L'Acherim, let's just point out that Itmar Nami, that in the Beis Medrash they transmitted that Omer Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Omer Rav Achin, Omer Rav Yitzchak, Omer Rav Yochanan, that there's a transmission in the name of Rav Yochanan that is exactly word for word identical with that of Ula. That kosel birshus haravim gavah asor veinu rochav mukaf lekarmelis vasor rishus hayochid hazorik v'nochal gabov chayev lacherim osim mechitza liatzmo lo kolshke. Now Tosfos is bothered by the following question. We had in our Mishnah the case of chulyas habar, and what happens? The bar is less than 10 tvachim, but there's a mound of dirt on the outside lip of this bar that gives you another 5 tefachim lamezogin, and we integrate the 5 tefachim above ground, meaning what we call the chulia, together with the 5 tefachim in the depths, the subterranean depth of the bar itself. So Tosfos says that Lechora, in that case, what we're saying is that the chulia is going to serve as a hashlama, right? As part of the mechitza, which is going to convert the bar into a shusayachid by giving it a mechitza of 10 tfachim, right? 5 tfachim of which is made up of the chulia. And the Mishnah is going to tell me that if I throw an object from Rishus HaRavim and it lands on the Chulyas HaBar, I'm Chayef HaOtzah. So we see that the Chulya, which is generating the status of Rishus HaYochid as far as the water in the bar, is itself considered part of Rishus HaYochid, such that if he stands in Rishus HaRavim and he throws onto the Chulya, he's going to be Chayef. So why don't we derive Ula's Kal V'Chomer, which ultimately is Rabbi Yochanan's Kal V'Chomer, from the Mishnah itself? Meaning that if the Chulia serves as a Mechitza, then the Chulia, although it's not 4 Tfachim wide, is going to be Chayef if he lands, you know, he lands his object on the Chulia. So let me read to you a paragraph from the Piskei HaRid. The Piskei HaRid, if I'm not mistaken, was a family called Tarani. You can look that up and see if I'm right. And they lived about 6 or 7 centuries ago in Italy. And he writes the following. He says, Bechulyas HaBar She'eino gvoa asoret tfachim, rak biyachadim omek habor, lo nitan lomer es divrei hakal v'chomer shel ulo, shem hi mishameshes kimechitza lebar, vadai hi mishameshes mechitza gam liatzma, v'oker mishus harabim eniach al gaboye chayov, kevod shehi atzma eino gvoa asoret. So he says the following, that Rabbi Yochanan, when he presented his suffix, he was very meticulous, very deliberate. And he pointed out that this mechitza, this kosel, is 10 tfachim high. In and of itself, it's 10 tfachim high. In the case of the chulia itself doesn't have 10 tfachim high. And therefore, we cannot consider the chulia as part of the Rishus HaYochid, meaning the Mishnah is only telling me that the water inside the bar is located in a Rishus HaYochid. Correct? Which would mean that if, let's say, I took water out of the bar and I put it down in Rishus HaRabim, I'm going to be chayav because the bar has a mechitza of 10 tefachim when you add the chulia. However, as far as a case where he throws something that lands on the chulia, that's not included in Ulis Kal V'Chomer. Ulis Kal V'Chomer only relates to a case where the he atzma, Havi Mechitza, right, is because you have at least the, shall we say, the most critical and preconditional ingredient in the Mechitza, and that's Gova of Yudfachit. So the kosel itself can now be incorporated into the Rishus HaYochid because it generates this Shem Rishus HaYochid, as we said before, the Kal V'Chomer. And the kosel itself could become a Rishus HaYochid because it has Gova Asorat Tfachit. Not so in the case of Chulia. We really cannot use and employ the Kal V'Chomer of Ula and Rav Yochanan to establish that if you throw something that lands from Rishus HaRabim onto the chulia that you'll be chayav, because the chulia itself doesn't have that basic critical ingredient, which is gova asar tefach. And he says the following: the Kal V'Chomer of Ula yesh lo liros es kol achalal shamechitzos makifos ki'ilu hu mole. The thrust of the Kal V'Chomer is to create a chalal, an airspace that is completely surrounded by mechitzos, and we see that entire space as one entity, ki'ilu hu mole. And therefore, when you throw something on top of the kosel, you'll be chayev. And if that's going to be the case, then you can consider the mole of the chalal of the Rishus HaYochid through the mechitzos as being mole, and therefore the kosel itself, he'll be chayev if he throws it on top of the kosel. But chulias habar she'eino gvo asara, it's possible that in the case of the chulia, which doesn't have in and of itself the height of 10 tefachim, is haminiach al gaba potter. Because even if we can consider all the halal, that all the space that's now being surrounded as if it's mole, but nevertheless, the chulia itself will not have the status of Rishus HaYochid because it's not 10 tefachim high. So it's interesting, there are two dinim over here. There's one din of a mechitza that once it sets up a chalal that is mole, which means it's all Rishus HaYochid, the mechitza itself becomes part of that Rishus HaYochid. There's another halacha, which is more limited, in which the mechitza can serve the function of creating a halal that is surrounded by mechitzos, and it is considered Rishus HaYochid, but that mechitza itself doesn't have the requirements to set itself up as part of the Rishus HaYochid. It has an impact on the hekev, on the inside of the chulia, but not on the chulia itself. And why is that? Because the chulia doesn't have the gova, the height of 10 tefach.
Sorry to bother you, but yes. The car is ringing. Your car is also...
Okay, let's go on now in the Gemara. Boy Rab Yochanan, another suffix of Rab Yochanan. Bar Tisha. So he's got a bar that has the depth of 9 tefach. And a Rishus HaYochid requires a mechitz of 10 tefach. So he's missing 1 tefach. V'ochar mimenu chulia. He digs down with his hands, 9 tefach, right, puts his hands down, 9 tefachim, and he digs into the ground and removes a clump of earth that is 1 tefach in depth. Vishlima lasar. Now, the bar itself is 10 tefachim deep. Now he pulls out this one tefach's worth of adama, and he puts it down outside the bar in a Rishus HaRab Mahu. Now, again, intuitively, I would have said he's potter in this case, because he took out a Gush Adama from a Makom Ptur, not from Rishus HaYoch. And now the Gemara is going to introduce what I call the concept of simultaneity of Bivasachas. Why? Mao. Let's look at the Akira. When he started his Meleches Hotzah, Meleches Hotzah begins with an Akira. Akiras Chefetz, Vasiyas HaMachitza, Bahari Adodi Ka'asi. In other words, you cannot set up a sequence in time, time T1 and time T2, that at time T1 he did an Akira from a Makom Ptur, and at time T2 he did a Hanacha from a Rishus HaYochid over to Rishus HaRab. No. Simultaneously, with the Akira, he created Rishus HaYochid. There's no sequence here. There's no A and then B. Everything happened Bahari Hadadi at the same second. This is what's called in the language of the yeshivas, in the lumdas, they call it Gito V'yado Boim Ki'achas. That sometimes the Torah sees two events as if they occurred simultaneously. So, for example, a man could put a get into a chatzer, and through the get, she's kona the chatzer, and therefore she's kona the get. Which, when you think about it, is logically impossible, because she can only be kona the get if she owns the chatzer, and she could only own the chatzer if the get was given to her, and now it becomes her chatzer. Otherwise, it's nichsei malug, or whatever the case may be. So how can you tell me, and the answer is, simultaneity. That simultaneously, the get is chal and her ownership over the chatzer is chal. Magic. Talmudic magic. And the same thing Rabbi Yochanan wants to apply here. That the moment he was oker this gush adama, at that moment, the bar itself became a Rishus HaYochid. And it all happened at the same time. And therefore, it's called Akiras Chefetz Vasiyas Mechitza Badi Adodi. And he's chayev. Olo mechayev. Or should we say no? Because before he did the Akira, there was no Rishus HaYochid here. The bar was only 9 tvachim. It becomes a Rishus HaYochid as a result of the Akira. But if two things cause each other, A causes B, then in the world of conceptual logic, A came first and B came second. A is the Akira, which created Rishus HaYochid. Rishus HaYochid only was created, emerged after the Akira. So at the time of his Akira, he didn't have Rishus HaYochid. And Rabbi Yochanan is perplexed. He doesn't have a clear answer. Now we have a rule in Shas that if the Gemara starts with one suffix and then it branches off by taking one side, like a flow chart, if you know what I mean, and it has what's called an intim to lomar, then we assume that the Tano, the Amora, who raised this suffix, is inclined more towards that side in the suffix. The intim to lomar kevin de lohavi mechitza sar meikara lomachayev, he's potter because he did not have a Rishus HaYochid with a bar that was 10 tvachim deep at the time Meikara. Meikara means when he began his Meleches Hotzah, when he began his Akira. So the Akira was what was implemented at a moment when there was no Mechitza Asara, there was no Rishus HaYochid, and therefore he's potter because you're not Chayef Hotzah unless there was a Akira Mechayeves. And this, Rabosei, was our intuitive understanding, that we're not going to apply the principle of Gito V'yado Boin Kachas of Bahari Adodi and create a simultaneity. It's not simultaneous. Don't fool yourself. Right now, there's a Bar Tisha, and that's where he does his Akira. So he was Oker from a Bar Tisha, and therefore he's Patur. However, bebar asara v'nasan l'tocha chulya u'miata mahu. Now again, this next question seems like the exact identical, just the flip side of the first question, but we'll see it's not at all. What happens is, he's got a bar, and now we're shifting our discussion from Akira Tanocha, he's got a bar that is a full 10 tfachim deep, and it's a bona fide Rishus HaYochid. And now he picks up a clump of earth from a Rishus HaRavim, and he dumps it into the bar. So the Hanocha was inside a Rishus HaYochid. For sure he should be Chayav. But the only problem is that the very second he puts down the clump of earth and does Hanocha, the bar is diminished from 10 tfachim down to 9 tfachim. Hanocha aschefetz v'siluk mechitza v'hari adodi kasi, and therefore mechayev. In other words, we don't view it as if he has been memayit the bar first, and then he did his Hanocha. That doesn't make much sense, because right now when he does his Hanocha, he's doing it in a bar that's Omer, that's Omok Asara, it has the full status of a Rishus HaYochid, is therefore the Siluk Mechitza, which means diminishing the bar from 10 down to 9, that happens not before the Hanocha, but simultaneous with the Hanocha. So at the moment of Hanocha, we still can consider this bar a Rishus HaYochid, and therefore he's Chayav. Now this is a whole new application of the principle of Bahari Adodi Kasi, because again, you would say that Bahari Adodi Kasi, you have a Siluk Mechitza, and if you have a Siluk Mechitza, there's no Hanocha in Rishus HaYochid. But the answer is no. Why? Because we have a new halacha of Bahari Adodi Kasi, which means we look at his action, and we ask ourselves, where is he putting it? He's putting it into Rishus HaYochid. And therefore he's chayv. Bahari Adodi, it becomes a siluk machitza, and it's no longer Rishus HaYochid. It doesn't matter. We're going to look at his hanocha. And his action of hanocha was placing it inside a bar amok yud that has the machitza, and therefore it's Rishus HaYochid. O dilma lo machayv. Or should we say that when he puts this clump of earth inside the bar, he's mevatel l'shem machitza, and it no longer has the status of Rishus HaYochid, and therefore he should be pot. Okay. Now, we're learning a Mishnah here on Daf Tzadites Amid Beis, and if you turn for just a moment, don't lose the place, to Daf Kuf, you will see another Mishnah on Daf Kuf with a statement of Rabbi Yochanan to interpret that. What we're going to have now is kind of a jump start, and we're going to take a look at that Mishnah Daf Kuf, and we're going to use that and Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation of that Mishnah to answer Rabbi Yochanan's question here. Frekta Gemara, Tisha Lemi Di Dei. How could Rabbi Yochanan vacillate on this point when he himself gave us the answer to this question? Disnan, in the very next mission it says, Hazorek Arba Amos. So the man is standing in Rishus HaRavim. This is not a case of Hotzah from one Rishus to the other. It's Havaras Dalet Amos Rishus HaRavim. And it lands on a Kosel. That's interesting. The point X where he stands is exactly 4 amos away from this kosel. Exactly. Don't ask me a kasha of EF Shalitzamte. Just grant me this premise. It's exactly 4 amos away. And the Mishnah says the following. Lemala me'asar tvachim. If this it doesn't say exactly what it is. It's some object. We'll see in a minute what it is. But if this object lands above 10 tefachim is kizorik bi'avim. Rishus Arabim only goes up 10 tefachim. And above 10 tefachim, it's a makum tur. It's there for his pot. That's called kizorik bi'avim. But Ober lemato me'asara, if it lands below asara, is kizorek ba'aretz, as if it landed four amos further in Rishus Harabim, and vazorek ba'aretz arba amos chayef. So he's chayef avoris dalet amos b'Rishus Harabim, in this case zorek arba amos b'Rishus Harabim. So the Gemara asks, and Rabbi Yochanan answers a pretty much a technical question, in a sense. I mean, it's obviously more than technical, because how can you tell me that if it landed 10 amos, it's chayov, v'lo nach? In other words, you throw something at a wall, and it's going to bounce back. It's going to rebound. So where's the nach at the end of arba amos? It's true that in airspace and distance, it traveled arba amos, but it didn't land arba amos. Amar Rabbi Yochanan bidvela shmeina shaninu. What was the object that he threw? The Mishnah didn't identify it. Says Rabbi Yochanan, I'll reveal to you the secret. He threw a clump of dates. They used to take dates and they used to pound them together. You may remember this from your youth, from Eilu Mitzias, right? The question is whether you have to, if you find an igule dvela, whether it's got a simon or not, and you have to be machris it. And the nature of this entity, of this material, is that when you throw it against the wall, it actually sticks to the wall. It's what you call a dovek bakosel. Oh. So instead of jumping back, it lands on the kosel. Where was the kosel? It was four amas away from where he threw it. And therefore the Mishnah says, Azorik arba amas bakosel is chayav, in a case where it landed below 10 tefachim, because it was igule dvela, dvela shmena. Why is he chayef? If the kosel is exactly four amas away from where he threw it, then anocha, when it clings, it sticks to the kosel, is within arba amos. Hokama might be arba amos. Right, the substance, the size, or the material of the dvela shmena itself will reduce the arba amos, will diminish from the arba amos, whatever space is taken up by iguli dvela, by this dvela shmena, whatever the size it is. So how can he still be chayav for this zrika when at the time of this zrika, from the place that he threw it until the kosel, there's going to be less than arba amos, because the dvela is in the airspace that is 3.9 amos away from where he threw it? The only answer that we could give in order to justify this Mishnah and why he's chayev in the case of below Eser Amos, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan himself fills in the gap, is because two things happen simultaneously. There's hanocha besof dalet, and there's a mute of the arba amos. B'shas hazrika, at the moment that he threw the dvela, haya arba amos ad hakosel, the distance between his zrika and the kosel was a full arba amos. But al yidei hazrika, as a result of the zrika, nismait shir arba amos, we no longer have a distance of arba amos. And yet, the Mishnah says he's chayav. Ah, so you see that Rabbi Yochanan himself must be operating with this Bahari Adadi that we applied in the case of Hanochas Ha'adoma B'toch Bar Yud. Right? What do we mean? That we had a bar, let's go over it, that was 10 tefachim deep, by throwing a clump of earth landing in the bottom of the bar, he now was memait, he diminished the space and the height of the machitza of the bar from 10 tvachim down to 9 tvachim, and yet, based on Rabbi Yochanan's logic in the case of Dveila Shmena, we should come to the conclusion that there's a principle called Bahari Adad. And we're going to look at his Hanocha, and from the perspective of when he threw the object from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to the bottom of the bar, that bar was a full-fledged Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and it had the depth of 10 Tfachit. As a result of the Hanocha of that Zrika, it now is diminished. It's no longer 10 Tfachim deep. We don't have to be bothered by that. Just like we're not bothered by the fact that now the airspace between where he was Zorek and the Kosel is no longer 4 Amos, because this object called the Dvela is Memait. Is therefore Yesh L'chayev HaMeniach Chulia. He puts a clump of earth B'toch Bar Amok Asar Tfachim. Afal Gavdi Al Yidei Hanocha Zu Mismait HaBar Me'asar Tfachim. Why did Rabbi Yochanan vacillate about this? Because Rabbi Yochanan said, "Oh, Dilma lo machayev." What do you mean lo machayev? The Mishnah says you're chayev even if the shear of Hotso is accomplished, and at the same time you are memait the shear. So the Gemara rejects it and says you cannot derive any conclusions about the chulia case in the bar from the case of the te'ena that he threw this the clumps of dates or figs onto the kosel. Why? Because Hasam lo mevatale. Hacha mevatale. What's his ultimate intention here? Does he intend to set up something on a temporary basis or on a permanent basis? Well, in the case of Chulias HaBar, he's filling in the bar. He has to do it step by step. And he starts, unfortunately on Shabbos, by filling in one tefach into the bottom of the bar. That's called Mevatale. He has full intention that this bar now, through this clump of earth that he's throwing to the bottom of the bar, should now be 9 tefachim deep and no longer 10 tefachim deep. That's his entire purpose. That's his goal. Mashenke, in the case of the Dvela, he threw this Dvela onto the wall, and eventually he wants to eat the Dvela. Again, I don't know exactly why he threw it on the wall, don't ask me questions right now, but he has no intention of being Mavatal it Bimkoma. It's not part and parcel of the Kosel. That's why the Mishnah says he's chayav and he's not considered being memait the Arba Amos. Because as far as the space of the Arba Amos, this is only a temporary situation where the dvela is on the, stuck up on the wall. However, in the case of Meniach Chulia, there his intention is to be mevata l'chulia in the bottom of the bar. That's where Rabbi Yochanan vacillates and he's not sure. Would he be chayav for such anocha since he is now being mevatel the bar from Asar Tvachim. And he's doing so on a permanent basis. Boy, Rav has a similar suffix to that of Rabbi Yochanan. And he says the following. We have now Yesedos. What does that mean? In Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he has, I don't know what word to use, I call it pegs. I don't know what, let's just see how they call it. Just a second. Yeah, they also call it pegs. Okay, not bad. That's rare. Now these pegs are 10 tefachim high. However, they're not 4 tefachim wide, like the fire hydrant that we mentioned yesterday. This is a classic Rishus Makom Ptur. However, if you would put a flat surface that would balance itself on top of these pegs, then that would make it into a Rishus HaYochid. Why? Because we have the Gova Asara, and now he's placing down on top of the peg something that's 4 Tfachim wide. And that flat surface is called a daf. Okay, not daf yomi, but some sort of flat piece of wood. Now, this daf has the width of 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim. Let's say, you know, I have this, the top of this box here is, well, maybe it's less, but it's certainly 4 tfachim in this side. Let's say it was a square, one of those larger planes or dapim. Now, if I put a daf that's 4 tfachim square on top of pegs that are 10 tfachim high, I've basically created a Rishus HaYochid. He's standing in a Rishus HaRabim, and he throws this daf, which lands Nach Al Gabi Yesedos. The moment that this daf lands on the Yesedos, the place itself, where the Yesedos are, becomes Rishus HaYochid. Because now he has on the top of this area a 4x4 square tfachim that is 10 tfachim high. Mao, what's the din in this case? He's standing in a Rishus HaRabim. He throws the daf onto the pegs that are 10 tfachim high. So the Gemara asks, my kami boile, let's try to understand and analyze the suffix of Rava. Rava didn't flesh it out for us. Do we say anochas chefetz vasias mechitza bahari adodi kasi? Should he be chayev because he created the mechitzas together with the anocha? And this is a simultaneity theory of bahari adodi. The only thing is that Rabbi Yochanan has already given us that suffix about whether there's simultaneity in bahari adodi. So again, Rav is talking about a case where he creates a mechitza together with the hanocha. And therefore he should be chayev for hotzah, if we say bari adadi. Or should we say, no, he's not chayev because he's not placing it onto a Rishus HaYochid. It's only after he's created the Rishus HaYochid through the hanocha, that's when it became a Rishus HaYochid. But the tchila, if we divide it up into, you know, A causes B, then the time T1 of A was the moment that it was not a Rishus HaYochid, and therefore the Anocha was not a Rishus HaYochid. We say, no, Hari Adodi is Haini Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says that's exactly the second suffix of Rabbi Yochanan, that you have a din of Rishus Hanocha Sachefetz, and is it enough to say that the makom itself had a din of Rishus HaYochid at the time of the Anocha, even though once he puts down the chulia, it no longer is Rishus HaYochid. But if we apply the principle of Adi Adadi, then the chulia is going down into Rishus HaYochid, is being placed in Rishus HaYochid. So Gemara says, nay, you should not identify Rava's Safek with that of Rabbi Yochanan. Ki kami boile le Rava. The suffix of Rava applies in a case of kigon dezorak daf vechefetz al gabav. There was an object on top of the daf. Now, if there was an object on top of the daf, now if we set up what we call bazachar zeh, that there was a sequence here, time T1, time T2, then he created the Rishus HaYochid the moment the daf landed on the pegs. And time T2, the object that was sitting on top of the daf, now is being placed onto Rishus HaYochid. So should we say, my, Kevan de Bahari Adodi Ka'asi, is Banochas Chefetz Vasias Mechitza Dami, that Anocha came together with what? with the Asiyas Mechitza. It's all simultaneous. Just 1 second. Did I get this right? 1 second. Give me a second, sorry. My mistake. The Gemara now, in explaining Rava's Safek, is applying Bahari Adadi Lakula, that he should be Patur. How does that work? That wasn't my intuitive thought here. That Bahari Adadi means that the Yesedos now are converted into Rishus HaYochid through the Anochas HaChefetz, and all this happens simultaneously. Is therefore we're going to apply the principle of Kanochas HaChefetz Vasiyas Mechitza Dami. It's as if he's creating the Mechitza. Just 1 second. And if he's creating a Rishus HaYochid on top of these pegs, together with the Anocha. And if that be the case, he's Potter, because he did not do a Anocha in a Rishus HaYochid. In other words, it's only a result of his Anocha that we have here in Rishus HaYochid. I'm just a little perplexed here why the Gemara throws me off here and uses the terminology Bahari Adadi Kasi. But maybe that'll become clearer when we see the second side of Rava's Safek. So again, right now, let's go through it. Bahari Adadi means that the Rishus HaYochid emerges as such after the Hanocha. His Hanocha itself was a Hanocha into a Mokum Ptur. It was not yet a Rishus HaYochid. You cannot say that there was Hanocha in a Rishus HaYochid, since the Rishus HaYochid became such as a result of his Hanocha, but the Tchilas Hanocha, if we could divide up his Hanocha into parts, was in a Rishus Mokum Ptur. Oh, Dilma! Now maybe this will help us. Cave on the low Efsha, the low Midla, Purta, Vehadar, Naicha. What happens is that, you know, if you have an object that's standing or sitting on a flat surface, it's going to bounce around a little bit. You know, when you put down the surface, when you put down that flat surface that's holding on to the smaller object is not immediately nach. It takes, you know, till it settles down, you know, it takes a fraction of a second. And therefore, it's impossible that there wouldn't be midla. Right? Midla means it's, you know, sort of tattering around, bouncing around, purta, a little bit, until it's finally nach. It's therefore kasiyas mechitza v'anochas chefetz dami. Therefore, it means that he's created the mechitza through the daf. Right, the daf itself is four tefachim. It creates a mechitza on top of the pegs, and afterwards we got the anochas chefetz. And afterwards, the object subsequently will settle down on top of this plane. And the Gemara answers, Teku. So again, in the Hava Mina, the Gemara thought that Rava was talking about a case where the object, there was only one object. All there was a daf. And that is really a repetition of what we had in Rabbi Yochanan. Because what do we have in Rabbi Yochanan? We had a siluk mechitza, Bahari Adadi, together with Anochas Chefetz. So when he puts the chulia down, and he's mesalik the mechitza, reducing it from 10 to 9, Rabbi Yochanan said, based on Bahari Adadi, that he would be chayav. So here also, Bahari Adadi, if we're going to say Bahari Adadi, just 1 second, is therefore lo yamakom shenach sham chevetz dim rishus hayochid. Right, so Bahari Adadi means that we don't have to look at Tchilas Hanocha, and say, well, betchilas hanocha, the object was being placed down in a makom patur, but rather we're going to look at the hanocha and the creation of the rishus hayochid simultaneously should be chayav. Is Haina Rabbi Yochanan? Because, again, that's the essence of Rabbi Yochanan's suffix. In other words, do I say that first he put down the chulya in rishus hayochid, and therefore he's chayav, or do we say no, that Bahari Adadi, and if it's Bahari Adadi, then it already was Siluk Mechitza, and therefore the Anoch itself, Bitchilasa, just 1 second, I'm sorry, just, if you could bear with me for one more minute, it works like this. In the initial Havamina, we thought that Rava was asking a question about what? About this daf. That's all there was a daf. There was no chifetz on top of the daf. And the Gemara thinks that Rava's suffix is identical with Rabbi Yochanan. And Rava's talking about Hanochas chifetz vasias machitza bahari adadi kasi. And if it's bahari adadi, then what should we focus our attention on? Should we focus attention on the one moment of the Anocha, which we call Tchilas Anocha, and therefore he's going to be Patur? Or should we say no? That Bahari Adadi Kasi means we don't focus on the Hanocha, but rather we're going to say that he's Chayav, because in the broader context of the Anocha, he has created a Rishus Hayach. That's called Bahari Adadi. So again, Bahari Adadi is a reason, according to Rava, to be Machayev in the case of Zorak Daf. Now let's go back to Rabbi Yochanan. There, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say one of two things. But here, keep in mind, the terminology works in the opposite direction. Do you follow my point? That's what I was confused about before, but now I see the clarity of it. If we're going to look at Tchilas HaNochan, then he'll be Chayev. Whereas in Rava, if you look at Tchilas Hanocha Gabi, you say those, he'd be pot. And what was Rabbi Yochanan's tzad to say that he's chayev in the case where he removes a tefach's worth of dirt from the tachtis habar? The answer is Bahari Adadi. In other words, we're going to say he's pot because we're not going to focus on the Tchilas Hanocha, but rather we're going to look at the Hanocha, or in this case the Akira, in a broader sense, and that's called Bahari Adadi. So Bahari Adadi means we're not going to break it down into a sequence of A and then B. And that's why, in Rabbi Yochanan's frame of reference, he's going to be Potter. Why is he going to be Potter? Because the Siluk Mechitza takes place immediately, or shall I say simultaneously, with the Hanocha Sachefetz. Or, again, I should be more precise and say the Akira Sachifetz. But the same principles apply in both. Now the Gemara Maskana says, nein, that wasn't Rava's Safek. Rava was talking about a case with a daf that had a Chifetz on top of it. And Rava was wondering, in that case, do we apply the principle of Bahari Adadi, which means that everything happens at one moment in time, therefore he should be Potter. Why should he be Potter? Because we're going to look at the act of Hanocha as Hanocha Gabi Yesedos. Because at this moment in time, until after the Anocha, we have a Mokum Tour, and it'll be Potter. O Dilma, or should we say no? That it's Yefsha, it's impossible that the object shouldn't bounce around, and therefore the Anocha is actually going to take place after he's created a Rishus HaYochid, and therefore it'll be Chayev Teiku. So what we're